Good morning. Shigellosis is an acute bacterial disease caused by gram-negative rods. There are four species of Shigella, with Shigella sonii responsible for most cases of shigellosis in the United States. Shigella is transmitted fecal-orally, with common routes of exposure being food, water, or sexual contact. It has a small infectious dose, with only 10 to 200 organisms sufficient to infect. Shedding occurs while sick and up to 2 weeks afterwards. The incubation period is typically 1 to 3 days, and symptoms can include watery or bloody diarrhea, abdominal pain, fever, vomiting, or malaise. On a daily basis, epidemiology staff at the Chicago Department of Public Health compare 5 years of data for Shigella sonii cases, reported within the previous 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or year. These data also include cases that were not typed, which is approximately 5% of all cases reported to CDPH. This is a snapshot of that data taken on November 21st of 2014. The highlighted areas show data that was concerning to us. These cases reported in the previous 3 and 6 months are approximately 2.5 times higher than the average number of cases reported during this same time period the previous 4 years. The total number of cases reported in 2014 was 262, which included 102 cases associated with an outbreak at a long-term care facility. These latter cases are represented by the hatched bars and include 15 laboratory-confirmed cases and 87 epi-linked cases. From January to May 2015, there were 55 cases. During the same time period in 2014, there were 33 cases. In other words, our current case count is still above baseline. Traditional risk groups include children in child care settings, persons in custodial institutions, international travelers, and men who have sex with men. We mapped our cases by residence when we first started noticing the increase in Chicago late last summer to see if there were any geographic commonalities and if there were any possible linkages with daycares. In addition to this, we also reviewed the proportion of pediatric versus adult cases and started noticing a shift towards more adults represented by the blue bars in August. In September and October, more than 70% of cases reported in Chicago were among adults, and most of these were males. A few months later, we mapped these cases again and noticed a cluster on the north side of Chicago where men who have sex with men are known to live and hang out at bars, restaurants, and clubs. We then limited our analysis to only adults and reviewed the proportion who were males as seen by the blue bars as compared to the proportion who were females as seen by the red bars. Wide variability in the early months is due to small numbers. From May until October, the minimum number of cases was 8 and the maximum number was 13. The proportion of males versus females was highest in September and October. Based on these data, we decided to embark on a more in-depth analysis of adult male cases reported from August 1st through October 27th. This included 23 adult males. We assessed restaurants where cases ate, same-sex sexual relations, and hangouts. PFG analysis was performed on all available isolates by the Illinois Department of Public Health, and based on these results, 11 isolates were then selected for antimicrobial susceptibility testing by CDC's National Antimicrobial Resistance Monitoring System, also known as NARMS. 61% of our cases were white, non-Hispanic, with the second largest group among black Hispanic men at 17%. 73% of those for whom sexual history was obtained reporting having had sex with men the week prior to their illness. Although we did not initially ask about the use of apps for sexual hookups, on our questionnaire, this information was provided anecdotally by some of the case patients. Some of the apps mentioned included Grindr, Growler, Jacked, Spike Guy, and Tinder. Case patients also reported visiting bars and clubs or living in communities known to be frequented by MSM. For those with information available, all patients reported diarrhea, and a quarter of those reported bloody diarrhea. Fever was the next most common symptom, followed by vomiting. 39% of patients were hospitalized and 43% were HIV positive. Of the 17 isolates with PFGE data, 10 fell into a predominant PFGE cluster. 8 of these were tested by NARMS and all were found to have decreased susceptibility to azithromycin or DSA. In addition to these, NARMS also tested 3 more isolates from Chicago from this cluster. In total, the results included the 8 isolates with DSA, 1 had resistance to ciprofloxacin, and 1 isolate had DSA and resistance to ciprofloxacin, ampicillin, and trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole. Some of the challenges include increasing resistance to antimicrobial agents among isolates acquired domestically and abroad. It is difficult to advise on empiric treatment options since we are not sure yet what resistance looks like in other populations. Also, it has been difficult to target prevention measures to MSM who are using apps to have anonymous sex. Apps owners see these numbers as very low, and others who have experience with public health messaging to these sites have advised that users then seek other sites for sexual hookups. Lastly, susceptibility testing is not routinely performed, and neither the state lab nor NARMS has the capacity to test these isolates from Chicago routinely. In addition, we queried private and commercial labs in Chicago about susceptibility testing, and of those that responded thus far, none are testing for susceptibility to azithromycin. Our recommendations thus far to providers has been to obtain stool cultures from patients suspected of having shigellosis and request susceptibility testing, particularly those with prolonged illness. Counsel patients about shigellosis prevention, and when treatment is required, select drugs based on antimicrobial susceptibility test results if available. In conclusion, Shigella sonii cases are ongoing in Chicago at a higher rate than normal. Half the patients with DSA shigellosis are HIV positive and report anonymous sexual partners. And the recent XDR cases concerning raising questions about empiric treatment options. Thank you.
Thanks for your presentation. We have almost finished now the outbreak shigellosis daycare in Missouri, and we identified 2 daycare age kids with azithromycin resistant strains. And according to CDC, we are the only state that ever actually reported child death young with a resistant.
Yeah.
We specifically questioned them, trying to find out how they got it, about possible contact with an MSM person. But it's a hard question. People may not admit what they do privately. So the answer is no. There is no contact with such a person, which cannot be 100% sure. With such a large number of MSM population in your area, did you see spillover that the children who identified that were in contact with MSM who developed shigella or shigellosis, and there was the same susceptibility pattern?
Oh, did we have any linkages with any children with
yeah.
that? None that we have found. We had early on in the summer from a year ago, we realized months later as we were really working up these cases more that there were 2 half-siblings related to each other, but they were 2 pediatric cases that were related to each other from the same household, but no linkages with adults.
So did they have azithromycin resistance?
They weren't tested. So this has been an issue in Chicago. We don't have a laboratory, and we are trying to look into other ways to possibly get more of our specimens tested routinely. I think NARMS tests 1 out of 20 routinely. Isolates from our public health laboratory in Illinois send those routinely, and so, but not. We don't really have great data at this point.
Yeah, our isolates were found by random testing by the clinical lab, and then we did the state lab. More than 100 consecutive specimens were screened, and none of them were positive. And then 2 months later, one of the random samples positive again. So
yeah.
We don't know which method is going to work better for you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug, did you have a question?
No.
No. Okay.
Did you look at all Shambhala from New York State, we've seen something very similar in New York where we're lucky that we can't. Did you look at sort of treatment versus susceptibility, like how many people were being treated, things they were discordant to, and sort of in conjunction with that, have you considered trying to push people not to treat? I mean, 40% of them need to be hospitalized, I need the truth, but
We definitely have not been pushing not to treat, and we are still trying to obtain more treatment information on some of these cases. For those that had medical visits, certainly, and we did have some, I think we had for one or two of the ciprofloxacin resistant had been treated with ciprofloxacin. And we did have a few patients who were complaining of diarrheal illness for months, so that was quite alarming. But yeah, we're trying to get better data and work with our investigators and develop actually new, more in-depth questionnaires using, CDC has a special questionnaire for DSA shigellosis that gets into some really explicit questions about sexual history, but also the treatment information. And so we're adapting our questionnaire basically to incorporate all of those elements.
Great.
Yeah.
Alicia, thank you.
Thanks.